advertising against mountaintop removal. Call River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! A little over a minute past the hour, and yay! Thorn in the Side Thursday is saved for this 13th day of February 2014. This is The Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is our home, and hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. It was a close call. It really was. For some reason or another, I was unable to connect to the White Rose Society stream servers, and after a few moments of unmitigated panic, a little bit of weeping in the fetal position, things like that, it occurred to me to, Microsoft sent through some sort of an update last night, but the interface that we use to reach the servers that takes all the summed up audio coming from over here on the mixer and sends it out boldly into the wide, wide world, had forgotten all of its settings. Poof, gone. And I realized that in the nick of time and reconfigured the streaming interface, and all is now, apparently, unless you tell me otherwise, well. Hooray! Because I didn't want to be knocked out on a snow day. It's been and what a snow day it has been. I'd say we're getting up close. We have gotten up close to 2 feet of snow here. And no, that is not the typical male response of thinking that an inch and a half is 2 feet. We found a nice level place where it had just fallen instead of just blowing in drifts, and took a measure, and yeah, pretty close to 24 inches, which is astonishing. And Ferg, well, bless his heart, Ferg, decided to be public spirited because the snow plows will not reach our road for quite some time. And even the main road out from where we live is a mess. But Ferg grabbed the snowplow, bundled himself up real good, and went out and decided to be neighborly and started shoveling other people's driveways. That boy amazes me sometimes. He doesn't amaze me. He thrills my heart. Because I didn't tell him to go do that. He just decided that we've got some neighbors who are older and went and did it. Kept walking down the road and helped an individual who had gotten stuck get unstuck. And so then I treated him. I said, well, let's go out. And he'd also cleared a path here, and we made it out to the main road, and four-wheel drive low, mind you. And found out that nothing on the side of on this side of the river is serving any kind of food. So instead we loaded up with the really, really fancy ramen noodles and brought them home. And he just brought me a dish of hand-cut, flat, spicy chicken ramen. And they're really good, you know, for 89 cents. So that's Ferg's special treat for getting out there and being civic-minded. And by the way, yes, the snow is still coming down. And according to my little weather widget on my phone, can be expected to do so for rather some time. Snow in the forecast tomorrow, snow in the forecast Saturday, snow in the forecast Sunday, but by Tuesday, partly sunny skies and 50 degrees. Hoo-wee! I don't remember so relentless a winter in a while. And yeah, Marty, you're right. Aren't software updates just wonderful? I love them. Yeah. It was kind of a banner day here. It occasioned me taking out my 18-year-old pair of polar fleece Gore-Tex and Thinsulate lined pants, because once the snow gets up above your boot tops, it's hard to keep your feet warm, and so you get the idea. But it has a certain beauty to it all its own, and the silence in the snow is it cannot help but impose a certain amount of reflection. So yes, though the skies were leaden gray and the roads a mess, it was, in its own right, beautiful. So here we are, 6 minutes past the hour, Thorn in the Side Thursday. And a note, just because we've gotten, thanks to help over the past couple of days, we've actually gotten out ahead of fundraising, and we only need to raise $60 this evening. Six at 10, two at 30, four at 15, that kind of thing. So fundraising for this evening is $60. You can either buy the PayPal button or by the traditional overland U.S. Postal Service mail method. Help us keep all this going. I've got a note from Sergi down Fort Worth way, something I humbly request to be mentioned on the air. He says, my workhorse computer, my desktop, is now, unfortunately, on its last legs and is on its way to croaking soon. I'm currently in the process of shopping for a replacement. I figure that I'll move to a one-computer situation. I'm currently working on my current laptop, which is crappy, and we'll get rid of this one after I purchase another. I figured I'd reach out to the Horn Family Commune, see if anyone out there has a decent laptop they'd be willing to let go of for a good price. Signed, Sergi, when it takes me 20 minutes to get into the damn BIOS, there's trouble, Kyle. So anybody wanting to point Sergi in the right direction, shoot me a note, bobkincaid@gmail.com, and I will forward that on to Sergi. So yeah, it is Thorn in the Side Thursday, and this is a tiny, tiny rose with a whole bunch of thorns. More thorn than rose, frankly. I guess there's only one place to start. I saw this earlier today, and it kind of screamed at me. We'll have to go to Colorado for this one. Although we'll be traveling around the country a bit. Out in Colorado, of course, they're constantly worried about all those assaults on freedom that are happening all the time, and the fact that you never know when you're going to have to protect freedom. Wolverines! Enter Colorado Republican State Senator dear God in heaven, the stupid is just... Senator Bernie Herpin. Herpin? Herpin? Yeah. Now, if you want a lesson in how to be completely tone-deaf and maybe make people who have already done their fair share of crying cry some more. Senator Bernie Herpin is your guy. They had a hearing in Colorado yesterday because Colorado has put a ban on the sale on magazines, and I don't mean like, you know, Southern Living or Better Homes and Garden. No, this would be Better Homes and Guns. Clips for putting bullets in. Colorado imposed a ban on magazines holding more than 15 rounds. And this, of course, does not set well with some of the freedom protectors, because they're pretty sure that if they can't have a 100-round clip, then that's just an open invitation for that Kenyan Muslim usurper with deep-seated hatred of white people and anti-colonialist tendencies to send out his oppressive Praetorian cohort army of people loyal only to him to round up the Bernie Herpins of the world and send them off to the FEMA re-education camps. Yeah. So this is basically a colloquy between Senator Irene Aguiar and Bernie Herpin. Herpin. I haven't herpined in quite a while. Usually that only happens after I mix my liquors. So they got to talking. They got to talking there in the legislature. And Senator Bernie Herpin wanted everybody to know exactly where he stood.
Senator Herpin, are there any questions for the bill sponsor? Senator Aguilar.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My understanding is that James Holmes bought his 100-round capacity magazine legally. So, in fact, this law would have stopped James Holmes from purchasing a 100-round magazine. I just wondered if you agree with me. Sorry.
Senator Herpin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Perhaps James Holmes would not have been able to purchase a 100-round magazine. As it turned out, that was maybe a good thing that he had a 100-round magazine because it jammed. If he had instead had 4, 5, 6, 15-round magazines, no telling how much damage he could have done until a good guy with a gun showed up.
You got that? It was a good thing James Holmes had a 100-round magazine because it jammed. Until a good guy with a gun showed up? What? Oh dear. And one of the people who was there to hear these remarks. Was Tom Sullivan. Tom Sullivan was there to try to keep the ban from being repealed by the freedom protectors. You know, the lawful gun owners who in the space of a scant fraction of a second can become an awful gun owner. Tom Sullivan had a son named Alex. He was one of the people that Holmes blew away in the theater at Aurora, Colorado. He was one of the people who had the universe come to an absolute end for him, thanks to the freedom protectors. He actually got to hear Senator Bernie Herpin make those callous, sickening remarks. Because, see, It's not like Holmes got off a couple of rounds and then the clip jammed. No. The 223 caliber assault rifle managed to clear 65 rounds out of that 100-round magazine. So if, as Bernie Herpin, Freedom Protector, was noting, if he'd had to change clips, he would have had to change clips somewhere between maybe 4 to 6 times, during which time a good guy with a gun, without a gun, a decent human, could have taken him down. Maybe. Not so sure. But he didn't have to, and he got 65 rounds out of that thing before it jammed. And yes, Tom Sullivan's son was murdered that evening. And he said, Tom Sullivan said, I've had a lot of thoughts since July the 20th, 2012, but never once did I think anyone was better off because the shooter bought a 100-round drum, brought a 100-round drum into that theater. Alex never had a chance. He was watching a movie 1 second, the next he was dead. The fact is, if the shooter had had to change his magazine, that would have been a chance for Alex to survive. The lack of empathy and compassion is shocking, not to just me and my family, but to all the families who have lost loved ones to gun violence, and to all the people of Colorado. But this is what he truly believes. Now remember, this whole transaction is taking place in the Colorado Senate because they had themselves some recall elections to get them people who didn't want to protect freedom, those people who wanted the Alex Sullivans of the world to keep on being the Alex Sullivan, not get murdered because they wanted to go and watch a movie. Well, they recalled them because that magazine ban had been a total assault on our freedoms. Wolverines! Meanwhile, Senator Herpin has said he didn't mean to offend anybody. He was not trying to diminish the tragedy in Aurora. No, he has certain things that he has to say. Because, well, he's a gun goob. Things, then the NRA will come after you. And gun owners of America. Yeah. Oh, for pity's sakes. It's only going to go downhill from here, I'm warning you. Now, tomorrow is Valentine's Day. Kind of nice that it falls on a Friday because that means folks can have a nice beginning to the weekend, maybe a lovely dinner, movie. It falls on a school day, so that means children can... Oh, children. For this, we have to go to Radio TV Rwanda. Now, many of you are or have been parents or know someone who has been or have at one time in your life been children. And so Valentine's Day is a cute little thing that happens, and everybody brings valentines, and maybe there's candy that's passed out, and all the students make valentines for all the other students. Good idea, right? No. No, over in New Jersey, there's... Up in New Jersey, out in New Jersey, somewhere in New Jersey, there's a teacher, no, really, they've put her in charge of precious little children. There's a teacher who has decided that children aren't getting the right libertarian lesson out of Valentine's Day, because every day is an opportunity to teach a lesson about the brutal realities of what they hope someday will be a libertarian world of freedom and brutal self-reliance and rugged individualism. Like I said, enter Radio Rwanda. Got the duct tape? Is the tennis ball handy?
Well, this week, kids across the country will exchange Valentine's Day cards, and one New Jersey teacher is trying to make the process more fair by asking kids to bring the same generic card for everyone in the class. That way, there'll be no Charlie Browns.
She's handing Valentine's out to all her friends. She's handing them out one by one. She's handing them out. She's still handing them out. Now she's all done. That was the last one. Now she's walking away. Happy Valentine's Day.
Oh, so sad. We're here to debate that. Parenting expert and blogger Jessica Gottlieb alongside author and blogger Elizabeth Esther. Welcome to both of you. So is it such a bad thing if...
No, really. Really, get the duct tape.
If every child gets a Valentine's Day card, Elizabeth?
It's not a bad thing. I think that it's a little bit unnecessary. It's a one-size-fits-all approach. I mean, especially when you're having to give out the exact same one. I mean, Valentine's Day is about expressing your unique, heartfelt feelings for your special loved one. To, like, just robotically hand out, here's your Valentine. Like, what are we, like, it totally removes the meaning, the special memory for the kids. You can't make life 100% fair, and why not let them experience a little bit of that, like, wow, okay, while they're young, while the stakes are low, rather than, you know, they're 20 years old and they're still expecting everyone to give them a Valentine's. I don't...
What kind of bell jar was this woman raised in? At 20 years old, you expect everybody to give you a Valentine? First of all, let's examine the universe of everybody. So, this one wants... Oh, my. This woman wants some children to be left out so that they can learn that life is not fair. Hey, kid. Didn't get a Valentine? Life's not fair. Vote libertarian. Elizabeth Esther is this bizarre woman's name. Why not let them experience a little of that, like, wow, okay, while they're young and the stakes are low? Because when you're 20, it breaks your heart when you don't get a Valentine and you expect everybody to give you a Valentine. Oh, dear.
No, it just seems, I understand the intention is good, but it's impractical, and it ends up blowing up. I mean, the kids feel like, the kids who wouldn't have gotten a Valentine, so to speak, they're getting a pity Valentine now. I mean, how that doesn't feel...
What is it with these godforsaken right-wingers? Eclipse in the past. They also object to participation trophies for children who play sports while young. You know, pee-wee, you know, t-ball, pee-wee football. What? Never mind, let's stay out of the head injury discussion. Whatever. And right-winger... Why are we giving these children trophies merely for participating? Don't they understand that life is hard? Well, it's hard. For some of those children, the life is hard because you folks keep making it harder. Rotten bastards. But they object to anything that isn't just brutish. They see that line about life being nasty, brutish, and short as a good thing. And the sooner they learn it, the better.
Feel any better? Jessica, what's your reaction to that? Oh, I'm sure that it does feel better. And the kids that wouldn't get a Valentine, believe me, they experience plenty of rejection day in and day out. There's absolutely no reason to be excluding them. And I find it suspect, too. It's like, I wonder, you know, when your kid is celebrating their birthday and you bring in cupcakes for the class, do you only bring them in for, like, the six kids they like the most?
Sure, but the class participation then is exclusion far worse than inclusion. Let me broaden this. I mean, teachers and educators down the road are facing kindness issues when it comes to Facebook. Is it wrong to teach kids to reach out to everyone in the class with some kindness and a card when they're five? Elizabeth?
Well, I think the idea behind it is good. I just think that there's a difference between Valentine's Day and birthdays. I mean, when you're celebrating a birthday, it's an inclusive, everyone participates and you're giving it to everyone, you know. But for Valentine's Day, I mean, I don't have 8 million Valentines. I have one special Valentine, my husband. I don't, you know, give out cards to everyone, and I give it to my girlfriends. My twins are in kindergarten. They don't even want to give Valentines to the icky, squicky boys. Like, they want...
Now, I am in no wise trained as a psychologist, but do you hear a little transference going on here? I don't get a lot of Valentine. I only have one Valentine, my husband. And she's got twin five-year-olds? Can you imagine those poor children? But she wants to make sure that they get a nice dose of inequality, and maybe some agony and some misery. Yeah. Just makes you tingle all over, doesn't it? Ed's distilled it to its essence. Suffer, sweat, and stress the children because the wingnuts want to kill their spirit early. Right! Absolutely, Ed. Because once you've broken the spirit of a child... Well, that child won't object if you expect them to grow up and work three jobs for, oh, what is it they want now? $2 an hour? Or no minimum wage at all? Well, if you've broken their heart in second grade, it'll be ever so much easier to get away with that. And thanks to Ed for getting us started toward wiping out the fundraising goal for this evening. And by the way, thanks to Philip, who helped make that goal as low as it is. We are now $35 away from getting done with fundraising this evening. Irish Dave, I got your Valentine right here, Esther, just like Jesus told me. Irish Dave's quick on the draw. Jesus says the beatings will continue until morale improves. Hey, kid, you didn't get any Valentines. You understand now that life's not fair, kid? Yeah. What are you crying about? Yeah, quit crying. Life's not fair. See, you're a little more grown up already. What do you mean you want your teddy bear? We burned your teddy bear, kid. Life's not fair. I mean, that beatings will continue until morale improves. That was cute when I saw it on a T-shirt down on St. Thomas 3 years ago during the Libboat cruise. Dr. John noting, shorter fox. Teach your kids to obey. Teach your kids to consume. Teach your kids that they are individuals, damn it. Because Jesus and Ayn Rand and Herbert Spencer. And I think we're going to have to make sure we keep Herbert Spencer in the mix, because there is a continuum. They're individual, and they're not going to be included, and it's going to suck for them. And Valentine's Day is going to be the day that they remember in second grade they didn't get an adult, and they'll remember that day. Well, that was the day I learned that life's not fair. Irish Dave with a question. On those five-year-olds' twins' birthday, did they both get the same gifts? No, they get one gift to share. No, on one birthday, one kid gets a gift. The next birthday, the other one gets the gift. And they learn that life's not fair because even though they're twins, only one of them gets a birthday present. Because this libertarian world is a hard world to live in. Steve with a note. Subject line, St. Valentine's Day. I'm surprised there's nothing here about winged cupids paganizing a saint's feast day. Oh, just wait. They're saving that for tomorrow, Steve. Yeah, there's an abundance of it. It just kind of goes on and on. And by the way, there's a message for you. We have a message for you from the 1%. Yeah, Bud Conheim is CEO and co-founder, Nicole Miller. It's a luxury fashion company. He showed up over on CNBC to tell all you whiny 1%ers to STFU.
We make that anybody needs nothing. Okay, yeah. So we've got a country that the poverty level is wealth in 99% of the rest of the world. And so we're talking about how woe is me, woe is us, and woe is this.
Our 99% are the 1% in the rest of the world.
Even the figure's even bigger than that. Here we are, incredibly wealthy. Nobody really has to start.
Because of capitalism.
Exactly. And here it is. Money is all over the place. And the guy that's making, oh, my God, he's making $35,000 a year. Why don't you try that out in India or some countries we can't even name,
China.
Or something like that, China, any place. The guy is wealthy.
Okay. Because everybody has the same standard. Because one rupee equals $1. Everybody's living standards are the same. We've reached complete equality. No, he'd be rich in India. Well, if he was in India, he wouldn't be making that money. But again, just like bitching about participation trophies in Pee-wee sports, this is another one that the right wing loves to trot out. My friends, we don't have any poverty in this country because, look, the poors, they have televisions, and they have telephones, Obama phones. And my friends, the poors, well, they have everything they could possibly need. Telephones, televisions, they have microwave ovens they don't even eat the cheap ramen, my friends. They eat the expensive dollar ramen. This jackass says money is all over the place. No, money is not all over the place. Money is highly concentrated in the hands of a very few people. Did you notice the one little guy helping him out in the background? Because of capitalism? Because of capitalism? Yes, capitalism? Which reminds me of one of those... right-wing blather... press release pitches that I get from time to time encouraging me to have some idiot right-winger on this program. Of course, it never works. But this one rolled in just, yesterday-ish. And I found it deeply disturbing. Because it has to do with a child. And this is a child who is being hustled by her daddy. Robert D. Hudson is a lawyer with Frost Brown Todd LLC in Florence, Kentucky. And he has apparently preyed upon the mind of his own child to turn her into some sort of little right-wing robot. They've got a book out, allegedly authored by his eighth-grade daughter, who has at least given co-author credit with her daddy. And this was some sort of pitch to, I guess, encourage me to bring her on the program because she's been on, she's going to make her third appearance on Varney and Company. You know, Varney, Stuart Varney. Wasn't he the goober who had to be, what did he have to be schooled? Oh, John Stewart schooled him recently. I forget what, he's over at Fox Business. Oh, he got mad at the Pope. Because he said the Pope was trying to get people interested in communism. Oh. And she's going to be on Varney and Company for the third time to hustle this disgusting little screed called Our Best Tomorrow. Students Teaching Capitalism to America. The segment will address youth issues related to free markets and capitalism. Lauren and I will also appear on Steve Deese's radio program later this month as well. Yeesh. And he refers to this. He refers to the book as the book's positive message. So here we have an eighth-grade child who, for some unknown period of time, has been mind-warped by her daddy into thinking that capitalism is somehow a good thing, when in fact capitalism is an economic theory that basically says that we will eventually have to consume everything on the planet and, well, you know, ruin life for I mean, after all, capitalism's already ruined the lives of how many millions of people? In order to entrench privilege in places like Europe and North America? Let's ask the families of the people who died in the most recent fire or building collapse at some sweatshop knitting factory in Bangladesh how well capitalism is working out for them. Or hell, let's just drive 50 miles down the mountain and find out how well capitalism is working out for 300,000 people who got their water poisoned by capitalism.
Thank you. I'm going to go to the hospital. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.